Get started tonight. Hope everyone's doing well. It's a good crowd this evening. Cold weather's still with us. For a while longer, next week's looking cold too, so we'll see what happens. But I got to be honest with you, I used to like the cold, getting tired of the cold. So we'll see when spring gets here. That groundhog may get shot this year, by the way. So it depends on what old Punxsutawney Phil has to say about it, doesn't it? All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at Romans 6, Romans 8, and we're also going to flip over to 2 Corinthians 5. So let's pray before we get into the devotion tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here, to grow deeper in your word, to know more about who you are and the truth that you've revealed to us through your word, through your scriptures, through your son, Jesus. We thank you so much for the love that's in this church for one another. And God, we pray that that love spurs us on to deepen our relationships with one another, both spiritually and in our friendships, God, that we learn how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, God. And may that start with each of us in this room tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so just a real quick reminder what we are starting this, since we didn't have service last Wednesday due to the ice and the cold. We are a week behind, but that's okay. But we are continuing our study in discipleship. We're going through topical studies, and I call them studies. We'll call them topical devotions in discipleship that are twofold. The purpose is twofold. One is to edify us spiritually, to build us up in our relationship with Christ. And the second reason is so that we can have educated spiritual conversations with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we're sitting across from one another at the table, or whether you're on a bus or you're at work and something gets brought up about what you believe in, well, you can know what you believe in. And so the point of this is to go through and give you several texts that you can make note of. You can mark in your Bible and highlight and put a little asterisk beside and say, oh, this deals with assurance of faith or assurance of salvation. This deals with victory over sin. This deals with who God is as the Father. This deals with who God is as the Son. So that's kind of the idea of what these Wednesday nights through probably the end of May will look like. And so tonight we are talking about victory over sin. What does victory over sin really look like? Do we really know? We will know. We will know because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. That is victory over sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. Okay? Jesus Christ defeated death. Therefore, Jesus Christ had victory over all of our sin. He became sin who knew no sin. All right? And that's one of the things, that's kind of the foundation of where we need to start tonight. We're going to look at Romans 6, verses 3 through 10 to begin this evening. These are the words of Paul to the church in Rome. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been raised, or if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. We need to understand, we need to make much more out of what our baptisms are and what they symbolize and what they mean to us. You need to go back to that moment in your conversion and that moment where you were plunged beneath the water. And I hope everyone in here has been immersed properly in the water after your confession of faith in Christ. But what does that mean to you? Was it just an action that you had to do as a rite of passage into the Christian life? Or did it have a deeper meaning? It should have a very much deeper meaning. It symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when you were pulled out of those waters of death, that symbol of resurrection, that symbol of victory over sin, that is what we hold to as Christians, because that is the hope we have in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture, and it's something that we need to maintain in the back of our minds at all times, because that is a gift that God gave us through baptism, is this image of what Christ has done through us through his crucifixion and through his resurrection and through his ascension to sit at the right hand of the Father. Verse 10 says, "For the death he died to sin, but the life he lives to God." When we humble ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ, we too die to sin. Because what's happening when we humble ourselves? We are becoming obedient to the commands of the Father. And obedience is the antithesis of sin. Sin is rebellion. Obedience is submission to the Father. And so when we are obedient to the Father in Jesus Christ, we are assuring victory over sin because we are not being disobedient. Disobedience is sin. Obedience is the antithesis of sin. This is the demand of our victory over sin through Christ. We are to walk in this newness of life that Paul talks about, this newness that we can actually know on earth. You know when Christ comes into your heart. You know that change. You feel that regenerative phase that goes on in you. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even know if you can explain it. But you recognize that something is different in your heart. And because of that recognition, and because of this newness of life, this new creature that has been made, this new birth that has taken place, we know that we can have victory over sin because Jesus has given us the person, the entity of God, the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, to constantly bring us to conviction, to constantly bring us to humility and humbleness, but to constantly remind us that it's in Jesus Christ that we have our hope, and that if we have died with Christ in his crucifixion, that we will also be raised with Christ in his resurrection. That is a beautiful thing, and that is something we need to remind ourselves of daily. You know, I've had a friend a while back. He got accused of being too Baptist because apparently Baptists don't get over their salvation. And his reply to that was, "Why should I get over my salvation? Why should you get over your salvation? You shouldn't. It's the best thing that's ever happened to you. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you, period. Because apart from that, you are dead." And that resurrection is not, the resurrection of life that is promised in Christ is not the resurrection that you're going to find apart from Christ. You will find the second death apart from Christ. Flip with me over to Romans 8, 1 through 5. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." This is that newness of life that I was referring to that Paul talks about throughout the New Testament. This newness of life is a tangible thing for us as believers. We may not know how to explain it with the right words, but we know because the Spirit has witnessed to our souls that we are redeemed in Christ Jesus. We talked about assurance of salvation 2 weeks ago. We know that we can be saved because of what the text reveals about who God is and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. If we know that we can be assured of our salvation, then we should know and be confident that we can have victory over our sin because of that salvation. But do we think of it that way? You know, a lot of times Christians all over the world, we're struggling. We still sin. We're not perfect yet. God sees us as perfect because he sees us through Christ. But we are not perfect yet until that day when we are taken to be with the Lord. And Christians struggle with that because we still make some pretty dumb decisions, even as a Christian. There's evidence of it on campus at seminary. There's evidence of it in churches across America. There's evidence of it in businesses all around town. Christians who are making not so smart decisions that have pretty drastic impacts on others, for the negative impacts on others. But there's victory over sin, ultimate victory over sin. That's why the Spirit dwells in our hearts, so that he can bring us to a point of repentance and a point of knowing that we need to rely completely and solely on God. And when we get to that point, we understand and we see the beauty of what Christ has done through his death and resurrection. And it's only possible through Jesus. No other manner to be saved. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. So all of these topics that we talk about, all of it is because of Jesus Christ. All of it. Our assurance of salvation, because of Jesus. Our victory over sin, because of Jesus. Our one day glorification of this body, because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And because it's all about Jesus, we can be confident and assured that we have victory over sin, because Jesus lived the perfect human life. Fully God, fully man, knew the temptations that we know, but did not succumb to them. Died an innocent man, becoming the very dark things that we do in our lives. He became sin who knew no sin, so that we might walk in a newness of life in this present reality that we know, that we can be made new in him. And that's a beautiful thing. It's something Christians carry too much baggage of their sin with them. We need to leave it at the door. This newness of life that God calls us into is not one where we carry a bunch of luggage with stained by the sins of the past. No. That cripples you for what God wants you to do in your life, by affecting others positively, by having spiritual conversations with folks and saying, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. You may not agree, but this is what Jesus has done for me, and he can do it for you. Simple spiritual conversations. It can take place in your house. It can take place at your workplace. It can take place on the street. It can take place anywhere where there's two people and there's one believer between the two people. It can take place anywhere where there's two people and there's two believers between the people. We need to have these spiritual conversations. And that's why we're going over these topics, because people who don't understand the gospel don't realize that they can have victory over the evil that they've done in their life. And as the Christian, we need to be assured of that ourselves, so that we can spread that good news to others. Sunday I talked about shining light into the darkness. Man, what brighter light can you shine into somebody's darkened life than to tell them that Jesus Christ had paid the penalty for their sins, and that through Christ they can be forgiven of everything. No hell awaiting them. No eternal consequences awaiting them. They've been nullified through Christ. We need to tell people that. We need to have that conversation with ourselves every day, understanding that what Christ did on the cross is the reason we can constantly come back to him and say, Lord, forgive me. We need to have that conversation in our hearts. We need to have that conversation with our family and friends and with complete strangers. Only through Jesus is this possible, that we can have victory over sin. Flip with me to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Not for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's a past, present, and future aspect to this text and to many texts within the Bible. But from the past aspect, from just this text, we know that we can have forgiveness of our sins through Christ. From the present aspect, we know we can have a newness of life in Christ, a new victory over sin because of what Christ can do in our lives. But in the future, that idea of no condemnation, all of the wrath having been for my sins and for your sins having been poured out on Jesus Christ when he was nailed to that cross. All of God's wrath for every evil thing I've done and will do poured out on that one perfect man because of me, because of you. And because of that, I can have a newness of life. You can have a newness of life. We need to tell others they can have a newness of life. Think about spiritual infants. People who just come to Christ, who take the gospel and run with it and believe that, you know, everything that Jesus has done in the New Testament is true, and everything that God's going to do in the future is true, and everything that he's done in the past is true. And they believe it, but they don't have someone beside them who can walk them through what true Christian doctrine is and what God's really trying to get them to change their living and to mold them into the image of Christ. What happens to these folks? Well, the world eats them up. And then they start syncretizing what they kind of understand about who Jesus is with otherworldly wisdom and knowledge and philosophies, and then you come up with a person who is in a mess of trouble because they don't know what real truth is because they've never been discipled. And it's happening all across the country. It's happening all across the world, and that's why we have to devote ourselves. You know, Jesus had how many disciples? 12. So, do you need to have 100 individual disciples? You need to think about that. We need to invest our lives and pour out our lives into a few people that we can really build a relationship with. God's not trying to get you to be the sole evangelist for the entire world. He's trying to get you to invest your life into a few people, and for them to invest their lives in a few more, and those people to invest their lives in a few more, and so on and so forth. And the next thing you know, huge change is coming, huge revival is coming. But it starts with each of us. And we really have to evaluate ourselves. Are we willing to do that? Do we really believe that Jesus has done what he's done so much that we're willing to sacrifice our time and our investments and our resources to invest our lives in people like that? It's a hard question. It's a hard question we all have to ask ourselves, and we all have to answer it. And when you answer it honestly, you may be surprised. But the good news is, if you're surprised because you get a no, that you're not willing, there's forgiveness in Jesus for that. And if you get a yes because you are willing, then there's guidance and instruction through the Holy Spirit for that. You see, God did not leave us in this life, in this newness of life alone. He gave us the Spirit to illumine our minds, to give us more truth of how this world is and all the sin, how it affects and how it plagues people's thoughts about what truth is. But the Spirit is given to us to clarify those things. Using Scripture, using other believers in discipleship type relationships. And when we bring this message of victory over sin and assurance of salvation and all these good things that are in the New Testament to other people, we're bringing them life. We're bringing them purification in their life. And that's what we need to do. So we have to embrace the truth so that we can invest our lives in the lives of others to be the light in their darkness through the power of the Spirit and the command of Christ. It's not an easy task. Discipleship is not an easy task. Because one, you've got to get over fear of yourself. And then two, you've got to be completely dependent on God. Because the fact is, when you're in these spiritual conversations, you're going to get asked probably some really difficult questions, and you're not going to have the answer to it. And that's okay, folks. That's okay. God will honor your effort. God will honor your effort. And the Spirit will guide you where you need to go. You may have to tell that person, you know, I don't have the exact answer, but give me a couple days and I'll call you back and let you know. That's okay. Effort. Take the effort. Step out on faith. Be bold and courageous. That's what it takes to disciple. So pick someone here in the church that you can just devote yourself to. Even if it's just for 6 months, say, I'm going to go up to somebody and say, look, I'd really like to pour myself into you, and I'd like to get to know you better. And can we meet once a week? Can we meet twice a month? And let's just talk about spiritual things. Where are you at in your walk with Christ? This is where I'm at. And let it start from there. And then as issues arise and problems show themselves, then you can really start grappling with those based on what Scripture says and how a Christian is supposed to respond to it. And the next thing you know, you're both growing in your walk with Christ. But it starts with a little bit of effort. And so we need to take that seriously tonight. You and I have victory over sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we need to remind ourselves every day of it. We need to leave the baggage at the door, and we need to look forward. My grandpa always says when anything bad in life happens, he always says, look up and press on. And that's what we need to do. We need to look up and press on. We need to leave all that baggage behind us because it weighs you down and makes you irrelevant. But God gave you a newness of life through Jesus Christ to make you relevant to the world. And we need to embrace that truth, and we need to act on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for what your Son has done to give us truth, to give us light, to give us hope. God, I just pray for everyone in this room, including myself, Lord, that your Spirit convicts our hearts of sin that we need to be rid of. But God, that your Spirit also ensures us that we have victory over that sin through your Son, Jesus Christ. We don't need to carry baggage with us, Lord. If you've forgiven us fully and forgotten what we've done, then why should we carry the baggage with us through this life? Lord, let us be light in this world to others. In Jesus' name we pray.